Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
See, now that I'm hearing that music, I'm getting excited. I'm thinking spring training. I'm thinking baseball.
It's awesome, right?
I'm thinking the first injury.
Come on.
It's Baseball Central for January 19th.
Be Jeff positive.
Blair and Kevin Barker.
Be positive.
I am positive.
No,
I'm not positive about that. Look, I said, I mean, I made my position very clear all along. Jose Bautista is not the preferred option for the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays aren't the preferred option for him. But sometimes the devil, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think Gibby's going to have, you know, some difficult decisions at times, getting everybody time off.
Yep.
And having legitimate lineups every day. That's going to be tough.
Some people are asking why Jose Bautista wasn't at the news conference today. My opinion, he should have been. But that's not entirely, again, that's, you know, not entirely the team's decision completely. We are told that Jose Bautista will be in Toronto this weekend and that he will have some sort of media availability on Saturday. He'll be here as part of the winter caravan or the winter tour, whatever they're calling it. So we'll hear from him then. And maybe somebody will get a hold of him. We've reached out to him and his agent, JL Lou. Maybe we have a shot at getting them at some point to find out how Jose Bautista really feels about this. My guess, Kevin, is Jose Bautista is going to, you know, be the good soldier. And also, as I said in the last hour, I think he realizes, look, this is the way the market broke for me. Sometimes, you know, boy, your classic example in this game, sometimes it's all timing, man. It's all timing. You can be as good as you want. You can be in the best shape possible, man. Sometimes it's just timing.
It is. Again, you know, I don't think I'd feel too sorry for him. He's still making $18 million. He's on a really good team. He's got an opportunity to, if he goes out and has a really good year, to erase the age thing. And, you know, I think that's
a
little
great point.
He goes out and hits 40 home runs and hits 290. Mm-hmm. A lot of this talk we've been having about age, and it's going to be a little easier. He's going to, you know, and 1 year deals is not such a bad thing. You still have a job. You have an opportunity to help a team. And you know, I think for him and the Blue Jays right now at this time, they're in the perfect spot together. Mm-hmm. I really do think that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about, we want to talk about what the Blue Jays lineup might look like. And again, this is Baseball Central and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello to our friends along the network on television. I was going to call it the boob tube, but nobody calls it the boob tube.
What's
anymore,
that?
Because I don't think they use tubes for TV.
I have no idea what that is.
Anyhow, I didn't think you did. The Jays still need bullpen help.
Boy, do they.
Boy, do they need bullpen help. And we both agree they need a backup catcher. Now, there's some names out there. I mean, they've kicked the tires and guys like Bobby Wilson, guys who signed elsewhere. Chris Iannetta, I suppose there's reportedly some interest in Kurt Suzuki, whose pitch framing is, quite frankly, among the worst in Major League Baseball, so that would be an interesting addition given.
Well, let me ask you a question. What's more important for a backup catcher, pitch framing or a guy that can drive in some runs?
See, I think in this team, a guy who can drive in some runs.
So why
I think you need, know, I agree. I think you need more of an offensive catcher than a lot of people think.
Because you got to still say, if Justin Smoke gives you nothing, this team's still really right-handed dominant.
Yeah, and if you do sit Russ Martin or DH Russ Martin a couple of times, I want a guy who isn't a complete butcher behind the plate, but I want a guy who's going to be able to give me a little bit offensively. You know, I need a guy who can, I guess I need an upgrade over what people sometimes think of as being a backup catcher. I need DeAndre Navarro the way he was 2 or 3 years ago for the Blue Jays.
No chance, Navarro. Well,
but I mean, that's the type of guy I need, a guy that I can put in the lineup and know, hey, he might hit a home run.
It's very hard to find, right?
It's very hard to find.
Again, I, you know, a big issue is going to be first and foremost is, what can Morales play enough first base to give everybody the half a day off? Mm-hmm. Like Donaldson, can he DH? Can Tulowitzki DH? Can Batista DH? Can Morales do enough first base? And I'm just not real sure of that. I'm not sure he's here to do anything other than DH.
Yep.
And that's a big issue. And the other one that keeps popping in my head and nobody ever seems to mention is Roberto Osuna. Now, we talk about this bullpen a lot and what you need that's and what fair. You don't need. I'm going to tell you this right now. You look at Roberto Osuna's numbers for the last couple of years, and he'll be 22 in February. Is that right? I think it's February. Mm-hmm. He'll be 22 years old. He was fourth last year in the American League in games at 72. He's had 143 and two-thirds innings pitched in 2015 and 2016 combined. When are you starting to think that that's too much?
I got to tell you, Roberto Osuna doesn't worry me in the slightest.
Man.
For a couple of reasons. He's done it now for 2 years. There's no more of this nonsense about moving him into the rotation. It's done. He wants to close. He sees himself as a guy capable of being Mariano Rivera. He does. I mean, he'll tell you. He's potentially going to be a free agent at the age of 26, mm-hmm. and he could have a ton of saves. He is all in on being a closer. He is invested in being a closer. Now, look, guy goes out there and throws his elbow out. I mean, there's nothing, we can't predict that. But I think this guy can take care of himself. And I'll tell you what else. John Gibbons doesn't get credit for a lot of things. He hasn't gotten enough credit for the fact that Roberto Osuna has been able to close 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row for a team that's gone to the postseason and stayed largely healthy and largely effective.
Okay, I can agree with that 100%. The adjustments he makes, adding the changeup, adding the fastball that moves, elevating the fastball, adding that little pause in his leg mm-hmm. kick, those are all things that's going to help him down the road. My thoughts are is you can't start – I think 2016 they started out 11-14 in April. You can't do that with the American League East getting as good as it's starting to get and the Red Sox as good as they are, adding Chris Sale and David mm-hmm. Price. You know, David Price is going to probably be their third starter, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Third starter. Now, I'm just saying you can't go 11-14. Can you pitch this guy from day one – until the last day of the season, whenever that is, how do you do that? That's my question.
Well, and that's a fair question. And here's where, and I know I'm, you know, shouting in the dark here. I'm one of these people that thinks bullpens are a lot more important than a lot of other people do. I thought that before the World Series this year.
They cost less money.
Here's the thing. People are saying, you know, well, you can put a bullpen together. Look how the Blue Jays did it last year. They went out and got Jason Grilley. They went out and got Joaquin Benoit. Look how it all came together. Well, here's my point. The bullpen you finished with in the regular season was not the bullpen you had at the start of the year. And yeah, this team went to the playoffs with the bullpen at the end of the year. But you know what? Take a look at how many games the bullpen torched in the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
This could have been a first-place team last year.
100%.
This team could have been a lot better with a better bullpen out of the gate. Right now, you've got Roberto Osuna, Jason Grilley. I've got to think they're going to leave Joe Biagini in the bullpen.
How would you not?
I hope the hell you do. Aaron Loop is back.
Danny Barnes, maybe?
Mark Shapiro has said that Danny Barnes is another guy. Mark Shapiro has said he doesn't want to take one of the organization's young pitchers, let's say a Sean Reed Foley or a Connor Green or something like that, and put them into the bullpen as a way of giving you that power arm at the back end that can maybe help Roberto Osuna.
Yeah.
So in the very least, you've got to find your left-handed guy, because it's not going to be Aaron Loop. You got to find somebody who can do the stuff Brett Cecil did for you.
Which is what? Well, in the
pretty much anything. Again, we got to think back 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the Jays win the World Series if Brett Cecil's healthy. Brett Cecil was arguably their most important pitcher 2 years ago.
That's 2 years
last
ago.
Last year, absolutely. Did not have a good start.
I'll give
to
you
the
this. When Brett Cecil's breaking ball is good, he's a good pitcher. But when it's not, he's not a good pitcher.
Okay, and let me finish this. And there's no Joaquin Benoit. No. So, my way of thinking, you need two relievers. And one of them better be a damn good reliever. I don't want to go into the year throwing stuff against the wall, hoping that some of it sticks and going, hey, there's my bullpen.
Yeah, and how much more pressure does that put on Sanchez, Estrada, Happ, Stroman? Francisco Liriano is one that I wanted to have a conversation with mm-hmm. you, and I think he is going to have a monster year. And I say this for one reason. Pete Walker. Pete Walker, you know me. I've been around Pete Walker a very lot. I played with him. I played against him. I was in winter ball with him. Whatever, I've done a lot of things with Pete Walker. Pete Walker is one of those pitching coaches that can talk you in to anything when it comes to pitching. I think having a year with Francisco Liriano, plus his stuff, and him being a fifth starter for the Toronto Blue Jays, that means usually he's facing the other guy's fifth guy. To me, he's going to have a monster year. But my point was, those five guys are going to have a lot of pressure on them to go deeper in games. Can they do that?
Let's talk about lineups, shall we? And as I do that, I'm rummaging through here for papers. Our friend, our very good friend, Jeff Azzopardi, who is a producer on Primetime Sports.
He does
sent
okay
along
job.
An email. Yeah, he does a good job. He's a good dude. This was MLB Network today. They had projected a Blue Jays lineup. Pardon me? Okay, we'll join Arash in a minute. They had projected the Blue Jays lineup as being Devin Travis, Troy Tulowitzki, Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, Kendrys Morales. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's bring in our Arash Madani, who's down at the Rogers Center, where General Manager Ross Atkins just finished addressing the media, probably did a few one-on-ones. Arash, thank you so much for joining us. Did the topic of the lineup come up at all with Ross Atkins?
It didn't at all, Jeff, and I thought it might, but you know, one thing Atkins did say is that we're not done yet. He said there were some trade conversations that the team had throughout the offseason that that they may reconsider with a month to go before pitchers and catchers reporting. But I thought that was the one interesting thing that came out, is that Atkins said, our ears are still open. It's not just addressing the bullpen and the backup catcher at this point. We're not completely done yet.
Arash, what was the mood there with Ross? Was he happy? Was it all business? Was it, you know, a little bit of an exhale because of the whole thing with Edwin? And, you know, we just got another guy that can protect Josh Donaldson. What was the mood around there?
Kev, I tell you what, I found it a little weird because there was only one chair and one microphone and one bottle of water. I was expecting there might be two.
Yeah.
You know, the one guy missing here is Joey Bats himself. And what's Bautista's take on all of this? I mean, Atkins said he guesses Jose turned down some offers from different teams this offseason. But kind of the one person who stayed quiet over the last few days through all of this is Bautista himself. Now, the mood was just kind of, okay, we know it's been 2-3 days now. We know Jose's returning. You know, we know that he wants to return. That's going to be the spin that comes out of this whole thing. But really, in his heart of hearts, what did Jose Bautista expect going into this? Mm. Now, one thing that Atkins said after his formal press conference, he said the industry is getting better at looking at numbers. He said in the past, home runs may have skewed the perception of what management, what executives may have thought, you know, how directly the correlation would be between home runs and wins. He said that's almost corrected itself. And it's a pretty unforgiving industry, isn't it, fellas? That if you have a bad year or an injury-riddled year going into free agency, in 2017, you're going to end up paying for it. And Jose Bautista did once he hit the open market.
Well, especially when you're 35 or 36 years old. I mean, you know, it's, I think, what we've really seen, Arash, in the past 3 years. And I had an agent tell me this. He said, you know, in the past 3 years, he said, I think teams are getting better at sort of quantifying the impact of age. You know, we talk about exit velocity, angle of exit, all that stuff. And, you know, I think you're right. You know, we talked a little bit about Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran's made $92 million since the age of 35 going short-term with a bunch of teams. I'll tell you what, I don't think anybody, I think anybody out there is ever going to do that again. Not in the next 10 years or so, because, man, the game is going so young. It's all about young position players now. It's not even about young pitchers. It's about young position players. And I think
how quickly that's changed too. It was 6 years ago next month that I remember being in Dunedin when they had the press conference to announce Bautista's extension at the time. And it was Jose sitting there with John Farrell on one side and Alex Anthopoulos on that side. And if we sat there and had this very same conversation back in 2011 about what's, you know, this is just the start for Jose, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have been the conversation then, that, okay, he's going to get his $55 million or whatever it was then, but just wait for 2016. That's when the real payoff is going to come. And we probably would have had the same conversation if we looked at Mark Trumbo's numbers then. And even with the age going into 2016, I mean, what we may have forecasted 6 years ago of what was ahead in free agency is now altogether different. It's happened very quickly for these position players once they're north of the age of 30, 31 years old.
Arash, any conversation with Ross that he's asked other players on the team how they felt about this?
No, not at all. Not at all. And that's the one intriguing part of this, Kevin, isn't it? That what do they really feel, you know, from a clubhouse culture standpoint? This is a clubhouse that, you know, if we're going back in time a little bit, was first Roy Halladay's clubhouse and then Vernon Wells' clubhouse and then Bautista's clubhouse. And it slowly seems that in the last 18 months or so, it shifted that this is Josh Donaldson's team. Now, It'll be intriguing as we go into spring training what exactly Russ Martin and Troy Tulowitzki and Donaldson feel about this. I don't know if we'll ever get the real answer. But, you know, Adkins talked about the leadership and what have you. The bottom line is this. Among corner outfielders available on the market, Bautista, at this stage, mid-January, was probably the best one available to them. And Adkins a couple of times, Jeff, you reported this yesterday, but Adkins a couple of times referenced Edward Rogers stepping up. And you just wonder how much of this now is, you know, ownership saying, okay, we need to have Jose back. We want him back. He's a marketable part of what we're doing here. And so of all the things that we heard today, that, you know, of Adkins saying that we don't have to rebuild right now, I wonder how much of that has to do with ownership realizing just how important it is to keep this team relevant, keep this team marketable, and keep this team having some kind of identity that fans are used to.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Arash. And I'm one of these people who has always believed having an engaged owner is a good thing. I really do, because I've covered teams where the owner hasn't necessarily been all that engaged. We've been told, by the way, that Jose Bautista, apparently, tentatively, there's a media availability set for Saturday. He's going to show up to Toronto as part of the Blue Jays, the promotional caravan. So, yep. I mean, there you go. I'm with you, Arash. I think Jose had to be there today.
Me too.
But, you know, that's just me. So where does this team go now? I mean, we know that they are still looking at left-handed relief. We know that they need a backup catcher. I find what you said intriguing, Arash, in that, you know, we know that they have spoken to teams like Colorado about Charlie Blackmon. We know they've spoken to Pittsburgh about Andrew McCutchen. The ask for Andrew McCutchen started with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., at which point, if I'm Mark Shapiro, I'm going, okay, and hanging up. Maybe JD,
click.
JD Martinez is a guy who may be available. Now, he's a free agent next year. What does your gut tell you that now that this has happened, and now that we at least have this scenario where it appears as if you know, you may have ownership even more engaged, could we be looking at a very significant trade in the next month? What does your gut tell you?
I just don't know, because you can bring all the offensive guys you want, but how have the last two World Series been won, fellas? They've been won in large part because of good bullpens, right? Kansas City a couple of years ago, look at the Cubs, look at even Cleveland getting through the Blue Jays and into the World Series, game 7 of the World Series, extra innings of the World Series. It's been in large part because of the bullpen. So I'm not sure, to be quite honest, what the reliever market is right now, but this has to be a priority now. If it's not, if this is, we don't have to rebuild and we're going for it now, it's not just the left-handed pitching in the bullpen. I get that Aaron Loop's the only one available, but I think you have to upgrade more back there. So adding an offensive player would be great, and it'd be a splash, and it'd be fun. But the meat of the matter is this is a starting rotation now with very little margin for error.
Yeah.
We're still talking about Marco Estrada, whose back could go at any time, right? Jay Happ's coming off a career season. And so, you know, with that said, you have to have some reinforcements with your reliever core. And so you would suspect that has to be priority number one before addressing some of the sizzle. Let's get to the steak first.
Good stuff as always, Arash. Thank you for doing this, man.
All right, boys. Always good.
Arash Madani of Sportsnet at the Rogers Center, where the Blue Jays, where Ross Adkins, the general manager of the Blue Jays, held his news conference today addressing details of Jose Bautista's contract, as has been reported. 1 year guaranteed, $18 million. There are two option years, one of them a mutual option. Jose gets first choice. If he wants to come back, the Jays have to either agree or not agree. The second vesting year, as Ross Atkins told us, is games played, no number given. And people have been saying someplace around 300 games played, I believe.
That is a lot.
That's a lot of games played. And quite frankly, if Jose Bautista reaches that number, you'd probably be happy to have him around anyhow. So we just got 3 minutes left. Let's talk about the lineup very quickly. My guess is John Gibbons probably can't really talk about his lineup until he knows what Devin Travis's status is. As I look at this, and I think a couple of people have pointed out the possibility of Jose Bautista leading off because of his high on base percentage.
Yeah.
That makes a certain amount of sense. But I think the lineup's really got to be in flux right now. You know, the middle of the order's got to be, I think it's got to be Bautista, Donaldson, Morales, Bautista, Morales, Donaldson, Donaldson, Bautista, however you want to word it. We may see Josh Donaldson moved out of that number two spot.
I like Donaldson. I like Donaldson hitting in a three spot. I like Bautista hitting in front of Donaldson. Wherever they hit, it could be 1-2, it could be 2-3, it could be 3-4.
Why him in front of Donaldson as opposed to Donaldson in front of him?
Bautista gets on base. It's protection wise.
Okay.
Morales, you know, he likes hitting with guys on base. He's very aggressive. He likes hitting the fastball. He can't hit the fastball. He's a switch hitter, which gives that other the other team something to worry about. How do we match up against that guy? And when you go match up, that's usually bodes well for your team. So it just, to me, it adds length to your lineup more. It gives a team more to worry about when Bautista's hitting in front. I just don't think, I'm not real sure it's in the air yet that Bautista can hit 40 home runs or 30 home runs or whatever it is, but we know he can get on base. We know he's going to walk because the fear factor's there. Mm-hmm. You never know, if you hang a breaking ball, he may hit a home run. Now, is he? That's yet to be seen, but there's just that thought. So if he's hitting in front, he's getting on base a lot, they have to pitch to Donaldson. That's what it's all about. To me, when you're Gibby and you're sitting down, how do I get Josh Donaldson pitches to hit? That's all you think about. If that's Bautista hitting in front, whatever it is, to me, that's where I would put him. And then everybody else sort of just falls in place. But that's just me. I don't run the team. I'm not the manager. But, you know, you got your biggest asset, which is Donaldson. You want him to be pitched to. There's no more Parrott. Which is just saddest thing I've ever
Parrott's
heard.
Parrott's gone.
Okay, so.
Parrott is gone.
Why would you pitch to him? You have to have traffic, and you have to have a guy on the on-deck circle that can drive in runs. There you go.
Good stuff, Mr. Barker. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's always good to talk baseball. Baseball Central on January 19th. That's it for us at Jeff Blair Show from 9 to 12 tomorrow. Richard Deitch joins me. Barker will be around. Don't worry about it. Hockey Central at noon is next.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.